Hi, everyone. It's Sandy Cruz from Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. And I'm here to show you that balanced living works. This is especially for all you ladies over 40. We will cover a range of exciting topics with many special guests, and I really look forward to this season. Bye for now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. Today, I'm recording all by my lonesome, and we're going to talk all about medical flexibility and advocacy for ourselves. Now, before I get into this topic, I want to talk about something I find really fascinating. And while this conversation that I pre-recorded with myself, it goes into issues in our medical system, I wanted to cover off prior to that issues with ourselves. And I'm going to try and be as concise and clear as I can. And there's one thing where, on the one hand, you need your medical team, medical practitioners. I have a team, people. I have an endocrinologist. I have a general physician. I have a naturopath doctor. Yes, I do. That's definitely one side of the conversation where we need to have a medical team or a wellness team that supports our wellness, that supports our best health, people who advocate for you and want that for you. But what I really find fascinating is when people don't necessarily want it for themselves. Now, what do I mean by this? What I mean by this is when someone receives news about something, and they put all their faith in one practitioner, and the outlook isn't great, wouldn't you think it would be best for your best health to look to other professionals in the area? Just a thought. I do. Because if somebody was to tell me, you have this, Sandy, first off, if I align with them and I'm like, yeah, I kind of knew it. I've been going down this road where I've been feeling like shit for a while. I've done this. And listen, a lot of it, and I know it sounds insensitive, but a lot of it, not all of it, a lot of it is due to the things that you've ignored for many, many years. Illnesses don't develop in a day. I admit it myself. I probably could have saved my own thyroid. And I feel like people don't always advocate enough for their own health. Okay. So I'm talking about having doctors who advocate for your health as well as your own advocacy. So when you have multiple symptoms for many years and things just keep going downhill, and you keep getting something wrong, it's like you're a medical mystery all the time. Don't you think that maybe there is other work that needs to be done? I don't know if I'm making my point clear or not, but the fact of the matter is, if I received a diagnosis, I would definitely look anywhere I can. A. What can I change about my diet and lifestyle right now to make this better? B, what supplements can I take to make myself better right now? C, what can I do in terms of my prognosis to make the prognosis better? Because the fact of the matter is, a lot of times, once we get into that medical loop, we just keep going down further and further into degradation. I know it sounds dismal and really shitty, But I've seen enough people who have had medical issues, pretty serious ones, who just keep getting worse. Once that spiral begins, unless you start to take control over your own health versus your health, I guess your health diagnosis taking control of you. Does that make sense? I don't know. I think it does. Because I, as somebody without a thyroid, who had thyroid cancer at a young age, I'm like, yeah, not me. I am going to do everything possible to avoid this trap of people who don't have a thyroid. I see this more with women. It's like guys, I don't know. Like when they have issues with their thyroid, it's never as serious. Although they do have issues. You see weight gain, that sort of thing. But I'm like, no, I am not going to be that statistic where I just allow myself to succumb to whatever the medical system says my prognosis is going to be. I've had some pretty amazing women as clients who have come to me who have pretty serious illnesses. And I've seen them turn it around. We're not talking about a cure here, people. As a registered holistic nutritionist, I do not cure, diagnose, heal diseases. And if you come to me to work with me, I rebalance the body and help you feel good again. And so that's exactly what I do. However, I've seen some pretty amazing things happen when these women take control and say, yeah, I got this. I'm not going to allow myself to get into that spiral and just start spinning down that hole. And first thing is, oh, you have this, then it turns into this, and then it turns into that. And then next thing you know, all of the different medications that you're forced to take cause secondary issues. And then, you know, you are that statistic. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you don't have to take medications. I personally live on medications. But I'm doing everything I can to make sure that my health doesn't spiral. I don't ignore symptoms. I don't ignore issues that I might have. I address things head on and I see what lifestyle modifications or diet changes I need to make. And I say this all the time. You have to always have a strong foundation. So sometimes I find even myself, I got to go back and work on that foundation again. I hope that you have a chance to come follow me on Instagram. I'm there all the time at Sandy K Nutrition. I'm also on Facebook, Sandy K Nutrition. I have a private women's group on Facebook, Sandy K Nutrition Health and Lifestyle Queen. I'm on Twitter sometimes. I'm also on TikTok. I'm in Clubhouse rooms almost every morning at 8:30 Eastern with a group of amazing and intelligent and educated women. And we all talk about ways in which we will age better and do what we can, what we have control over to mitigate bumps in the road. That is called the Biohacking Women 50 Plus. So those are all my announcements for now. And with that, here is my episode on medical flexibility. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today, I am actually going to talk by myself. It's a monologue day. Anyway, the reason I wanted to do this is because I am a big believer in signs and more of these signs that I should talk about this have been popping up. And it's all relating to medical freedom, medical advocacy, gaslighting in the medical system. I see a lot of clients. I talk to a lot of women, mostly women. And these women are mostly middle-aged. And I see so much of this that it actually hurts my heart. And this is why I wanted to talk about this. I am a registered holistic nutritionist. I do not cure, diagnose, or heal diseases. However, I do work with a lot of sick people. And I hear a lot of stories. And a lot of these stories pertain to a lack of support from their medical practitioners, whomever they may be. I do not want this to be felt as an offensive podcast, because this is not what I'm not meaning to offend individuals in the medical community, but something's gotta give. And the reason I say this is because it lights such a fire in my belly when I hear of a woman going to their general physician asking for blood work because they have researched their own symptoms quite extensively. And yes, physicians, there are reliable resources on Google. You just need to know where to work and, sorry, where to look. And some of these women work with me. And while I do not cure, diagnose, or heal diseases, I do have a lot to do with their own medical advocacy. What to ask for, what to look for, just where to go when you have no answers. When you go to the doctor and say, I am so tired. I am so sick. I do not feel any desire to even live. Can we check a little deeper? I know I've read that thyroid can have an impact on this, specifically autoimmune thyroid diseases. Can we check deeper into this? And on the other side, you'll hear, I've checked your TSH. Your TSH falls within the normal range. And no, there is no need to test further. Here is a prescription for an SSRI. What? This honestly just burns a fire in my belly. And it really does hurt my heart when I see this and hear about this. Because this isn't just one case. This is multiple cases. And multiple cases of women afraid to ask their general physician for testing. What? How is this? How can they be afraid to ask someone who should be there to advocate for their best health? Listen, I know, and I'm not oblivious to the fact that there are limitations in the medical community. I know that there's stuff going on behind the scenes that I know nothing about. I recognize that, but I see on the other side a hell of a lot of gaslighting, a hell of a lot of non-support for women who are really sick, and a hell of a lot of prescriptions going out there without trying to figure out why is this person feeling that way? And maybe we should dig a little deeper and look a little bit more. I'm going to tell you my own story now. Many of you know it. I had thyroid cancer at 41. I'm now 51. I had a lot of issues that 100% pointed to postpartum thyroiditis after my second child was born at the age of 35. I had adrenal fatigue. So there was a connection between the adrenals, the thyroid, long before I had thyroid cancer. I had symptoms, but I was told, suck it up, buttercup. You just had a baby and you also have a toddler. So you need to just kind of figure things out. How many women have to just figure things out? I had a newborn baby, and I had such trauma from the birth of that second child. And also, that second child, she was a trauma birth herself. She came out blue. Her feet were blue. She was not given to me right away. She was taken away to help breathe because she couldn't breathe on her own. She came back to me 1 hour later, and the lovely nurse, I still remember this, she put her on my chest and she said, keep her here. It's going to help her regulate her own breathing. That was beautiful. That was my first beautiful moment with my second child. When I got home, it was a whole other ball game. I had very intense trauma from that birth because she was posterior. She was basically turned around inside of me. It was nasty. I had to have a catheter after her birth because I couldn't pee. It was awful. A lot of new mothers go through so much trauma in their births, whether they're cesarean or natural. And I love Dr. Jolene Brighton. If anybody here doesn't know her, go follow her on Instagram. She really tells it like it is. She just had a baby, her second child. I think she's 40. And she talks about all of these things and supports women so much. And I love it. And so back to my story with this catheter. Here I am caring for a newborn that had reflux, that had all sorts of issues, didn't sleep at all really until she was 8 months old. And I had my toddler trying to step on my catheter. Yeah, so you guys know where that would have gone. It was not easy. And all the while, I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep. And then 3 months later, I didn't have any milk. Well, I did, just not enough. I was stressed to the nines. I had a husband at that time that traveled almost every week. It was very stressful, and I did not have the resilience to overcome that stress. I also didn't have women in this industry helping like there are now, and we're so fortunate to have that now. So, back to my story. Many years after that, first off, my thyroid was never palpitated. My TSH was always normal, but nothing had ever gone deeper than that. TSH, for those of you who are not aware, is a thyroid stimulating hormone that comes from the pituitary gland in the brain. It's not even your thyroid hormones. Yes, it's important, but the range is massive. I talk about this in my friend's podcast. I'm not going to get into it in too much detail. Zora from Hack My Age, if you want to go and listen to that podcast. I was a guest a few weeks back. And we talk about all of this and the importance of not just checking TSH, but checking free T3, free T4, antibodies. General physicians who are listening, listen, you guys are doctors. You went to medical school. I respect you for that. And I respect you in this industry. But you cannot gaslight women and say to them that if your TSH is normal, there's no need to check further, which is exactly what one physician said to one of my clients. And I was like, okay, well, we still haven't gotten to the root of it. Maybe her antibodies are fine. But I do know that a woman or a man can have antibodies and be within that vast range of 0.5 to 5.0 TSH. So do not tell me or other clients or your patients that antibodies are unnecessary to check if you're within that range. Another thing I will note and make very clear, when I am above a 2 in
my own TSH. Now remember, my thyroid, I don't have one, so my thyroid function is regulated by medication only. I don't have a thyroid at all. It was literally removed. So if I get above a 2, guess what happens to me? I have lingering hypothyroid symptoms. I may not, in a clinical sense, be looked upon as hypothyroid because I'm within that range. But if I hit a 2.25 in my TSH, I can 100% guarantee I am going to have issues. Whether that's hair falling out, whether that's energy issues. So the gaslighting really needs to stop. And doctors, your role is so important and so critical to one's wellness that you need to start listening to your patients. Because I'll tell you one thing, your job is not easy in a world where people know a lot more than they used to know about their wellness. Sometimes they're going to question you. Sometimes they're going to say, I don't get it. Why won't you test me further? But that shouldn't be taken in offense. That should be taken as an opportunity to educate, because your patients look to you for education, not just that prescription, which will simply cover up what root cause may be not seen, because you're not taking this opportunity to see it. I'm going to pause there because I'm going to tell you another story. So I'm going to, you know, I get so fired up about this stuff, and I think that's okay, because unless we get fired up about something, we're not going to actually advocate change here. Now, another situation. When my daughter was sick, she had a soft tissue sarcoma, which is a malignant tumor, at the age of 5. It was in the fatty part of her arm, and when she put her arm over her head, I found it one night when I was doing little tickles under her arm. I would do this every night before bed, and I felt something. And then when I asked her to put her arm up, because it's kind of underneath in the fatty part, it was, and it was blue in color. And this was many years ago. I was only 40 years old. I had not gone back to college. Listen, I went to college, not to university. I did not go to medical school, but I did take pathology, symptomatology, biology, chemistry. I did take all of the necessary sciences to give me a basic understanding of the human body. And when I saw that lump under her arm and that it was a bluish color, I immediately in my head said, this is not right. It is bluish. That is an indicator to me of blood supply. So being a 40-year-old woman, not being in a medical industry or a holistic health or wellness industry, knowing that and feeling that, it was like a stone dropped from the top of my stomach to the bottom of my stomach, to the pit. And I knew that that was not right. And just the color in itself gave me an indicator. Of course, this is all indication, not clinically proven, not tested, nothing like that. But it gave me an indication there's got to be blood supply. That little lump didn't move under my finger. It was very tight. And then later it was explained to me by our her general surgeon, that think of a malignant tumor as something that has arms and legs. It's hanging on to all of the tissues around it. So it doesn't move loosely under the skin as a cyst would, or a simple fatty cyst. And so I will tell you this story, and I don't think I've ever told this full story. When I went to my physician at the time, I did the testing, ultrasound. We got a referral to a children's hospital 6 months later, just for a consultation. So I asked if this could be moved up. No, it couldn't. There's a long wait. So I actually called the secretary of this referral and referring surgeon at the children's hospital. And she said to me, "Sandy, I can put you on a cancellation list, but unless your general physician indicates that this is some sort of a rush and should be moved up, your daughter is not placed in that category. Your physician must do this." Guess what? My physician never did it. So that to me made my heart sink. It showed that I did not have the advocacy and the support from my general physician. And since then, I've left that general physician. Also, during the time that I was with that general physician, what's very interesting is I got my thyroid cancer was, it's not mine, thyroid cancer was diagnosed as an incidental finding because I had a migraine with aura for the first time at the age of 41. And the substitute doctor that was there at the time was a woman who said, let's look at this in a little bit more depth, why you had this migraine with aura for the first time in your life. And I'm not saying this is definitely a symptom of thyroid cancer, so please don't think that. However, this doctor found it interesting and odd that I would have a migraine with aura for the first time at this age. So she sent me for all sorts of investigative tests. I had a brain MRI. I had all sorts of lab work done, although I think they still only check TSH. However, I did have an ultrasound on my carotid arteries to see if there was some sort of a blockage. And that was when there were five, a couple of them quite large, nodules discovered on my thyroid. And therein, the whole process began. And then, because I wanted to see the best doctor, I actually went to Mount Sinai in downtown Toronto. And I was there for 5 years, I think 5 years, because I wanted the best care. And I also know with many thyroid patients who have nodules, they go for multiple fine needle biopsies to get only inconclusive results. This is why I went to the best. And downtown Toronto, they did the fine needle biopsy. Boom. The very first time it was done, they were able to somewhat conclusively find papillary carcinoma, which is a form of thyroid cancer. They found those cells in one of the nodules. And believe it or not, it was in the smallest one. So, back around to my advocacy. I had since left that general physician. So what I'm going to say is, first off, I am not giving any medical advice here whatsoever. You have to see your own medical practitioner for medical advice. What I am saying, though, is when you go to that medical practitioner and you don't get advice and you don't get advice that feels good to you, you are not tied to them. And they are so critical and important to your overall wellness that you have the freedom to go and see another medical practitioner and get another opinion. And go and find, even change doctors altogether. I actually changed a second time because when I went to see a male medical physician, I had asked if they can run certain tests, and they were offended that I asked this. And I'm thinking to myself, first off, I know I'm not a doctor, but I know a lot about my situation. And that's another point I'm going to make. Nobody knows your body like you do. Especially if you're one of these people who is so in tune to symptoms. Nobody knows it better than you. And so if your medical practitioner is telling you it's nothing or gives you a prescription that you don't feel good about, I'm not saying all prescriptions are not needed because I live on medications. I have no choice. Otherwise, I'd be dead by now for sure. I have no choice. So I'm not saying all prescriptions are bad. What I am saying is that if the answer does not suit you, if the answer is gaslighting you and what is really going on with you, then see someone else. You have that freedom to do so. And I do speak with and see a lot of women who are quite broken in their journey to wellness because they keep going to different medical doctors and they don't get the answers that feel good to them. And they are doing their own research, which I believe is important and it's very empowering. And every single woman that I see as a client, I provide as much explanation on what they're doing and why they're doing it as I can. Why? Because it's important to educate and it's important for that person to learn, not just take it and just take it and shut up. You need to learn, just like you need to learn what are the symptoms of the various medications that you are taking. What are those symptoms? It's called knowledge. It's called education, and it's empowering to our own wellness journey. At midlife, so many different things can go wrong. So I always encourage women to do their own research, actually anyone to do their own research. And I love it when people ask me questions. I love it because if I don't know the answer to things, which there's a lot of things I don't know the answer to, I'm going to find out as much as I can and look into studies and look into research and find out. But here's another point I'm going to make. And this is a very important point. Many doctors will say, no, that's not backed up by studies, right? And so they won't support it. But what I will say is that many of these larger studies are backed up by a lot of money. I'm not going to get into the whole big pharma debate here, but these are facts. So you may not find huge studies in what you are trying to use to heal yourself. You may not find it, but what I am going to say is there's a big thing called energy. And when something feels good to you energetically and something aligns with you, and guess what? And it makes your body feel good and it's not doing you harm, then there is no reason not to try it. And this is the time when I would say, get a second opinion, or here's some more advice. Speak to a functional medicine doctor. The difference between functional medicine doctors and regular general physicians is that they do intensive testing, very intensive testing. And they also believe that there are important things such as vitamin, nutrients, and mineral balancing. And I'm going to say the majority of them believe in food as medicine. What we put into our body does count, people. Okay, maybe you guys are going to think this is really crazy of me. But on certain days when I happen to go and check the mail because I have to walk to my mailbox, I don't have it delivered to my front door, I will often look in people's recycling bins. And so I'm like, huh. And it's not to judge those people. It's to find out what are people eating. And I'm going to tell you that 98%
of these recycling bins have things like really shitty genetically modified products, Chips Ahoy, Wheaties cereal, milk that is laden with hormones and chemicals, giant big box Costco noodles. Those are just a few things. And of course, then there's cases of pop and stuff like that. So I'm sure if somebody came and walked through to see my recycling bins, they would see beer cans. Yes, my husband loves his beer. I don't pretend to be something I'm not. Every once in a blue moon, I do buy a box of garbage cereal. Why? Because one day my kids just want to try it. I more often than not will not buy it. But yeah, every once in a blue moon. But when I walk by every single week and I see the same garbage in the same bins, that right there is a clue that people have no idea that what they're eating is medicine or it's poison. It's just a fact. And poison can mean different things to every body. What's good for you may not be good for me. And we are not a one size fits all. You know, when I hear different individuals talk about how they live and it's so crazy restrictive, like I'm talking, never eat grains, never eat gluten, never eat anything genetically modified, and GMO and all those things, you have to take all of this with a grain of salt. So I always follow an 80-20 rule. Always. Then there's other individuals who will be the opposite. Everything they eat is genetically modified, the cheapest food that you can possibly buy, but yet they'll go and spend $5 on a Starbucks every single day. So this is where, you know, I think, oh God, like there needs to be more education here about our food sources, about our own health advocacy, and about how everything we do counts. Everything we do matters. And when we do all things in moderation and in balance, we are typically balanced. Okay, if you come to me as a very sick client, we may have to cut out a lot of things in your diet and put a lot of different things in just to get your foundation straight, just to repair those cracks that are in your foundation. Or in some cases, fix the crumbling that's going on. I get that. Sometimes we have to do that. But once that foundation is laid out and nice and straight and no cracks, no crumbling, then you have more leniency in terms of your food. So what I mean by leniency, I mean follow that 80-20 rule. 80% of what you're putting in your body is like medicine to your body, and find out what that medicine is. What makes your belly feel great? What makes you have all the energy in the world? All of these things are indicators that that food is good to you and good for you, right? So if you do eat sourdough bread once a week and it's a good quality sourdough bread, and it doesn't bother your stomach, and you feel good after you eat it. You don't go and lay out on the couch like miserable and tired and gassy, right? Then eat it. It's okay. But if you're eating that sourdough bread every single day and you find you're bloated and you find you're gassy and you're tired and you've got no energy, then maybe that's a sign that that's too much. So really, the formula to life is very simple. And I'm going to close off here with this formula to life. Everything in balance. Okay, 80-20 rule. Find a good medical practitioner that advocates for your best health. Doesn't look down on you
Like, you don't know anything when you ask questions or ask for certain tests, because they are or should be your biggest ally and support in your own medical journey. Make sure that you move your body every single day. What moving your body is means different things for different people and what they can handle. I personally am a huge believer in strength training and building muscle, especially if you're a woman nearing menopause, because that's what's going to help you keep that extra weight off, in addition to a very strong foundation. Another thing, it's very important to build that foundation. So do what you can to get there. Make it strong. Make it firm without cracks. And then you can head on through to various life stages with hopefully, no guarantees though, but hopefully very few cracks or bumps in the road. I welcome any comments. I welcome any emails. I do work with clients. My name, Sandy Cruz, registered holistic nutritionist. You can send me an email, sandy@sandyknutrition.ca, if you want to work with me. I am on Twitter. I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Clubhouse every single morning at 8:30 Eastern with a group of phenomenally bright women. It's called the Biohacking Group. Biohacking Women 50 plus. You don't have to be 50 and you don't have to be a woman, but we're there every single morning. I welcome any ideas for new guests on my podcast. And of course, please do share this episode, subscribe, rate, and review. It means the world to us podcasters to get this type of feedback and to secure more incredible guests. Have a great week. Bye for now. Join me next week where I cover off more exciting topics. I hope to continue to engage you and excite you and show you that living in your 40s, 50s, and beyond can be exciting, balanced, and healthful. Bye for now.